We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's KDKA-FM.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's time for the Derek Shelton Show. Join Cook and Joe as they welcome in Pirates manager Derek Shelton to get the latest on our Pirates. Brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions, Community Bank, mortgage and home equity loans at your convenience. Now, the Derek Shelton Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
It is indeed time for the Derek Shelton Show. Derek is on the Hall and Capitis Fan Hotline. He's brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions and Fanatic Impressions. Shelty, how about that intro? You have your own intro now.
Wow, that's really good. I'm liking that. That's we're getting fancy with this now.
Yeah, I like that a lot. My first question this week is a little bit of an oddball question, but it's something that has occurred to me. I feel like on any level of coaching, and I even had this experience with my daughter's little elementary school basketball team over the past few years. I feel like if you're bringing energy and passion to your players and you're pouring yourself into it, that you can't help but become really connected to all of them and sort of invested in them. And I'm sensing that from you with this group, from the way that you spoke after last night's game, from the way they celebrated with you after your first win, that you're really connected to this group of men and that you absolutely love what you're doing.
Well, I think those are great points, and you know, something that I want everyone to know, and I want our fans to know, and your listeners to know, is we are connected to this group. I am connected to this group, and I was very much appreciative of how they showed after the first victory for myself and for the staff, and how excited they were. I think it's a tribute to our group of how we played last night, because, you know, obviously 2 nights ago that loss, it was a tough loss, and we had played well and ended up coming out on the short end. But to see how they bounced back last night and to see how they've reacted, it's been really cool. So, yeah, I think to your point, regardless of what level you're at, if you're invested in your group and you communicate with your group and they know that, you're going to get the best out of them.
Derek, you've tried a lot of different lineups, hitting the guys a lot of different spots, using the bullpen, you know, maybe trying to protect some guys a little bit. You know, we saw the Cardinals basically use the same lineup, Milwaukee. Just talk a little bit about your approach to that, and are you trying to protect a couple of these pitchers in the bullpen?
Well, I think to the first point, Ron, is we are going to play different people. You know, I mean, there's certain teams that have set guys that they're going to play every night, and we're gonna play different people and adjust our lineups and give people different opportunities, because for a couple reasons. Number one, to get guys acclimated early on in case we need them, and number two, because of the fact that we have to make decisions on people, and we have to continue to develop, and we have to continue to get better, and guys are only going to get better if they play. And so you will see different lineups. The second part of it, I don't really think it's protecting guys as much as we got to make sure guys are ready. You know, if guys are in a position where they can pitch and they're available, then they will pitch. But the protection thing is more of the 3-week spring training, where guys aren't built up like normally they would be after 7 weeks of spring training. I think we talked last week a lot about that. You're going to see relievers used differently. This is not isolated to Pittsburgh and the Pirates. This is something that you're going to see league-wide. You're going to see usage be different with guys in terms of availability. And I don't know if it's much protection. It's just being aware of where guys are at.
Birdie has been electric in his two appearances. I'm wondering, I have two questions about him. One, do you have a specific formula for how you're using him? Is he not going to be available ever on back-to-back days, or what's the formula with him?
Well, there is a formula with him and how we use him. I can tell you guys one thing. I will never tell you who's available and who's not available, because I think that's a competitive advantage for people we play. And that's not just you guys, because if I was going to tell anybody, it would definitely be you guys, because, you know, we're close. But
yes.
But, you know, I don't think it's fair to talk about availability just because of the fact you're telling the other manager how you're going to do things. I do think in Nick Birdie's case that we are going to be aware of the fact that he's had multiple major injuries. And as you started with this statement, he's been really good in two outings. He's been, you know, I think your word was electric, and I don't know if I would disagree with that. So we are definitely going to be mindful of how he's used.
Well, I think that goes back.
Question.
Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
Sorry, Ron. The follow-up question there would be, on nights that Birdie is available, is he your closer?
I think we'll use him in the leverage situation we see possible. I mean, we've had both these situations that we've used him in a closer. Right now, he's been used there. If we have to use him before that, there's a possibility we'll use him before that.
Derek, one guy who has it all figured out so far is Colin Moran, and I give the kid a lot of credit. I don't know, he's one of those guys, I'm sure you tell him the night before where he's going to play the next day, but, you know, just assuming you didn't, he has to come in every day looking to the lineup to see where he's going to play. He might be the DH, might be at third, might be, the playing first for you. I give him a lot of credit. He doesn't seem to complain about anything.
Well, I appreciate that, and I agree with you. He is off to a really good start. It's a credit to him and the work that he's put in. You know, he's been extremely aggressive with his swings, which is something we challenged him on, and I think we're seeing that. The fact that, you know, he hit the 0-2 homer in St. Louis. He hit the 1-2 homer two nights ago. So a lot of good things there. We do let him know where he's playing the night before to kind of give him a sense of you know, what he's going to be in, how he's going to be doing it. We send our lineups usually out the night before, so guys have an idea of their preparation for the next day. But I'm right along with you. I think he deserves a lot of credit. He's worked really hard, and he's off to a really nice start.
Talking to Pirates manager Derek Shelton on the Derek Shelton Show, and we have a new opening that you heard today. Let me ask you about Brubaker. He's had one appearance, and speaking of electric, that was pretty electric in itself. I expected to see him last night. I don't know if you addressed it after the game or not, but why only one appearance for him so far?
Well, I think that he had the one appearance, and it was two nights ago. And the one thing with Brubaker is, number one, we have to be aware, because he did have surgery and it's coming off an injury. And then number two, he's been a starter his entire career. So we have to build him into the role that he's in the bullpen to make sure that he is available, because the last thing we want to do is put him in jeopardy of putting him in a position where he's not comfortable coming into the game because of his past of being a starter.
Derek, obviously the number one story in baseball is the COVID and the Miami situation and the Phillies on hold and changing the schedule. I know you guys have been very diligent about this. Did you talk about it a lot among the team after all this stuff happened? And just can you clue us in a little bit about what was said?
Yeah, well, we're constantly talking about it. So, yes, we have talked about it. We're continuing to talk about it. I think in terms of the situation in Miami or with Philly, is we knew once we got into the season there was going to be some positive tests. No one knew, you know, what the scale of them was going to be. And we have to continue to adjust. I mean, Major League Baseball's put protocols in place. You know, the one thing I would say is I don't know the actual situation down there and how the disease, you know, was contracted or what happened or the virus was contracted. But we have to continue to educate our guys to make good decisions, to trust themselves, because we know, you know, there's a multitude of ways that you can contract this. So we just have to be mindful. But we are talking about it daily. Our medical group is talking about it daily. Our doctors are talking about it. We're talking amongst the staff about how we can adjust the protocols from our first trip to our next trip. So we will continue to talk about it.
Cole Tucker had a pretty good night last night, and I'm wondering Shelty, if it, like, where is he at defensively in the outfield? Is he, would he already be considered an average defensive outfielder, or is that totally unrealistic? And then if you could also talk about his approach at the plate and whether when you first came in contact with him this year, you saw that there was a need maybe for some adjustments there.
Well, I think to the second part of that, I think for young players, there is adjustments to be made, and he's making them. And Cole's working really hard with Rick Eckstein and Mike Ribello in the cage every day, and they are making adjustments. And I think last night we saw the fruits of it. I mean, you saw the two-run double in the eighth that are the double to start us off in the eighth that, you know, he ended up scoring, which was a catalyst for us. And he had the other hit, which was outstanding. I think he continues to grow. And in the outfield, he's taken to it really quickly. He's enthusiastic about being out there, which is when you ask an infielder to go into the outfield, that's kind of the first thing you're looking for. It's not like, hey, we're asking you to go out there and never play infield again, because he's going to play in the infield. And he will continue to play, you know, have opportunities at some point in the infield. And we view him as a versatile player. I think, honestly, right now, I don't think he's average. I think he's a little bit above average because he's extremely athletic. He gets really good reads and breaks on the ball. I mean, the ball he caught in Cleveland during the exhibition series, there's not a lot of regular center fielders that get to that ball, and he got it to it in his first game experience navigating the wall. So this kid's extremely athletic, and because of that, he's extremely versatile, and we're very fortunate because of that.
Derek, how do you judge him as a hitting coach, a former hitting coach? I assume he doesn't have to hit 300 to be successful necessarily for you to see progress. How do you judge a young player as far as developing as a hitter?
Yeah, I think you develop you assess him or judge him or analyze or whatever the term is by if he's making improvements every day. And then if he's taking to those improvements. And what I mean by that is when you make adjustments with a hitter at times, when they first get into the cage, they can really get it and they'll have it and they'll repeat it. It's almost like going to a driving range. You go to a driving range and you take three or four swings and you're like, yeah, I got this down. And then you the next 10 swings you take, you have it. But the question is if you step away from that and then walk back up and re-hit that same club, are you still hitting it? Are you still able to repeat it? And that's with young hitters, not just Cole, but with all young hitters, we have to make sure that the adjustments they're making are repeatable. So it's a day-to-day thing. I'm going to get better every day. And last night, I think we saw the fruits of what he's been working on. And he has to continue to adjust. He has to continue to make sure that he replicates the things that our hitting group's talking to him about.
It's the Derek Shelton Show with Cook and Joe, Pirates manager, his weekly appearance. There was a play the other night in the loss, Shelty, where I think it was the ninth inning. It was Yelich at the plate, hits a hard ground ball to Josh Bell, and it seemed like the play there was to go to second to keep the tying run, or maybe it was the go-ahead run, I can't remember which, from second base. But the bottom line is it seemed like Josh may not still have confidence in that in his throwing. Do you think that was the play to make there, and are you concerned about that? Do you think that's why he didn't make that play?
Number one, no, I don't think that's why he didn't make that play. I think if the ball wouldn't have taken the hop it had, if you go watch it and go back and watch the replay, the hop kind of came up on him, so he had to catch it, you know, near his midline or his chest. And because of that, he wasn't able to get his feet in a throwing position. If he's a left-handed first baseman, that's an easier play. But as a right-handed first baseman, when that ball takes that hop on you, he did the smart thing. He took the out, you know, because he didn't put himself in a situation where he was back on his heels because of the hop took him. Josh has worked really hard on his throwing, and excuse me. And I think when he gets the opportunity to make a play, he's going to make a good throw and go from there. But I think that ball the other night, he made the right play on because of the way the hop took him.
Derek, can you talk about your first win a little bit and the celebration, maybe who you heard from? And I know you said after the game it was the best shower you've ever taken, but can you share with us maybe some of the people you heard from that meant the most to you?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, your family. Those are the people that mean the most. I mean, I was able to talk to my wife and my kids and my parents all through FaceTime in different calls. And you know, anytime you spend time away from your family, it's special to have milestones. And, you know, even in this year where they can't be in the ballpark at any point for any of these, personal things for me. I mean, I don't want to make it about me, but the personal thing. So it was very cool. I think you realize when you get your first win, it's kind of like when you get fired. A lot of people reach out to you and give you support, and I was really happy. I mean, with all the text messages and calls I received, I heard from old players, old coaches, people I hadn't heard from for 20 years. So it was really nice. And then, the celebration afterwards, I really appreciate the players. I got a pretty hearty beer shower with some orange juice and Red Bull and baby powder, and there was a lot of things in there. And I think, like I said, post game, if anybody that knows me knows that, like, we wasted a bunch of beer, and that doesn't sit really great with me. But it was a cool moment. It's the first time I've ever gotten a beer shower, so it was a cool moment.
Speaking of that, I mentioned to you last week I was watching a documentary on Jim Leland that was really, really good. And I happened to catch the story that Rob King did on you and your rise through the minors and your family and your relationship with your dad. And I thought that was great, too. And I'm wondering, it got a little misty in our house, I have to tell you, Shelty, the part about you getting the phone call that you were the Pirates manager with your wife in the room. And then I think you called your dad. Can you take us back to that moment?
Yeah, I can. I mean, that's a moment that sticks out. I mean, the funny thing of how that all went down is, I had interviewed for other managerial jobs and hadn't received them. And I had this theory that the longer in the day you went, the less chance you had of getting a job. And I knew that was the day Ben was making the decision, and it got later in the day. And, I was probably not a lot of fun to be around with my wife. And I got a text from Ben that said, "Do you have a minute?" And I was thinking, yeah, I got as much time as you want to talk. And he called and offered me the job, and Allie was in the room. And it was emotional. I mean, I still get emotional talking about it. It's a lifelong dream and something that you strive to accomplish. And, I look at it as kind of like a family goal, because my parents have been there, with me throughout everything. And my dad coached me, and with my wife and kids. And then calling my dad was extremely emotional, just because, I think he probably wanted it more than I did. And I really wanted it. So I know how he felt about it. It was an extremely emotional moment, for us. I think of everything, because it's a unique, it's a unique fraternity. There's only 30 of us. There's only so many people that get to do this. And I think he really knew that I wanted to be in Pittsburgh. And so it was a cool moment. I think they did a really good job on the show, or whatever you call it. And I was really happy with it.
Derek, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you, when you went over to behind Dyson when he knelt during the anthem in the opening game, I know you guys had talked about it before. You knew what he was going to do. Did you just decide on the spur of the moment to go stand behind him? What was your whole thought process behind that?
Well, I think my thought process behind that is I respect everyone's individual rights and everyone's individual thoughts of what they think about things. And I've told our players that since day one of spring training 1.0 in Bradenton with whatever the situation is. And I know Gerard was in a situation where he was doing something, and I wanted him to show that I was supporting him. And it was important. It's important for all my players, regardless of how they do it, as long as they do it, like we've talked about before, with thought and with education and with the process and with the purpose, that they're going to have my support. And so I just wanted to make sure that JD knew that I was there, and he had my support.
Lastly, Shelty, and I think I'm going to do away with free association. I know that's going to disappoint you, perhaps even crush you, but I'm running out of things to come up with here. I know.
Okay.
And I apologize. But this is sort of in that vein. What is the worst rule in baseball right now, the one that bothers you the most?
The worst rule in baseball. I think one of the weirdest rules in baseball are, and I'm not going to say it's the worst, it's just the strangest, but it's like if the catcher picks up the ball with his mask, it's a three-base advancement. I think that's the first one. And honestly, no, I'm going to change my ruling on this. I think the batter running inside the baseline, on like the bunt play out in front of the plate, I think that's the worst rule, because basically you can be called out for running directly to the middle of the base. because the baseline goes obviously on the outside of the base because that's where fair and foul territory is. So if you run directly at the base, which is what we teach guys to do, you can be called out for running inside the baseline. So I think that's a rule that is very, I mean, it's interpreted differently by a lot of people, but I think the way the rule is actually written, it's not right.
Fair enough.
I got to ask one more, Joe. We almost thought you got thrown out of your third game here. We're wondering. that was one of the most hilarious arguments I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know what? In reflection of it, Jordan Baker, the umpire, did a really good job. I mean, one of the points was, you know, we can't get too close to each other to argue, which they've talked to us about. And then his mask broke midway through it. And you're supposed to keep your mask on. So he was trying to have a conversation with me, maybe at a little bit elevated tone, while trying to hold his mask on. You know, I think we both got a good chuckle out of it after later in the game when I went to the mound and he was like, hey, my mask broke. And I was like, I understand that. I was just trying to make sure we stayed at a distance. And he, you know, we both are not used to staying at a distance when you have a conversation with the umpire. So I know it's gotten a lot of play. It was a funny thing. It's probably something my two older kids have enjoyed more than anything. You know, they really got a lot of humor out of it. But I think it's like anything else with what we're going through right now. It's adapt and adjust.
Shelty, thanks for the time. Congratulations on your first win, now your first home win, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.